welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, drama from the NBC Radio Theater, bringing us the story, star quality, starring Lee Bowman. Bowman would turn out to have the distinction of being one of the leading radio dramatists after its so-called golden age by heading up the ABC drama series Theater 5 throughout the mid-1960s as executive producer and occasional actor. This episode of the NBC Radio Theater Next first heard on the network on May 13, 1959.
Lee Bowman stars on the NBC Radio Theater. Kate Day was just a starlet when we got engaged. It was her own idea that she give up her career in the movies, but secretly I was pleased because it made it all the easier for me to take her away to Mexico, where I wanted to write my novel. No, I'm not a writer, but I'd wanted to be. The NBC Radio Theater, a complete hour of drama every day, Monday through Friday, starring Eddie Albert, Madeline Carroll, Gloria DeHaven, Celeste Holm, and today starring Lee Bowman as Rex Darrow in Star Quality. Our drama begins in a moment.
No, I'm not a writer, but I'd wanted to be. And with that in mind, I'd gotten a year's leave of absence from my directing job at the studio. The night the leave came through, Kate and I went to our own little hangout to celebrate.
I wish you'd tell me what you're going to write about. I feel so left out not knowing.
I'll let you know. Be the first to read it when it's finished.
Why can't you tell me ahead of time? Well,
because once a story's told, you don't have the same feeling for it anymore. It loses something. It's the typewriter that ought to hear it first.
Rex, who's the girl coming this way? I should remember, but I don't.
Huh? Oh, that's Maggie Wilson, one of my writers. Hi, honey.
Don't get up. I'm not staying. What's this I hear about you taking a leave?
Sit down, I'll tell you all about it. You know Kate, don't you, Maggie?
Oh, hi.
Maggie?
Drink?
No, thanks. What about this leave?
The studio's giving me a year off. I asked for it.
Why?
To write my book.
Oh, that's great. It's a fine story. I'm glad you're so going to do it.
Well, how do you know it's a fine story?
Well, darling, you see, I discussed it with Maggie. You know, she's a professional writer. I wanted an opinion.
Oh? When are you leaving?
Right after the wedding.
Whose?
Ours, darling.
Well, congratulations. How very exciting.
We've rented a darling old farmhouse down near Guadalajara. We'll honeymoon there while Rex writes his novel.
Well, I may be a practical old party, but I can't see writing a novel and a honeymoon on the same ticket.
I'm going to stand over him every minute with the club. He'll work.
We'll miss you at the studio, Rex. Well, this will make quite a splash when it hits the papers.
Don't mention it to anyone, will you? Kate hasn't even told her mother yet.
And you know Mother.
Well, I've never met her, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you will. She's meeting us here. Poor Mother. She's always had her heart set on my being the star she was. But I just didn't measure up.
Yeah, there aren't many who can measure up to what your mother was in her day.
Well, I saw a rerun of one of her early pictures the other day. She was great. No other word for it.
Keeping him with me. He gets terribly upset
If
we're separated.
Oh, dear. There she is now, and she's making an entrance.
What's the trouble this time?
Well, they won't let her bring that Russian wolfhound to the table.
For a good many years, and you're obviously new here, darling, or there'd be no need for discussion. Now, where's my daughter?
Mother, we're here.
That stupid man can't seem to understand that Nastasia can't bear to be away from me. Hello, darlings. I'm sorry to be late.
Hello, Catherine.
Mother, this is Maggie Wilson. She's a writer at Rex's studio.
You're a good one, too. I've seen your work.
Oh, thank you. Well, I guess I'd better go. This looks like a family party.
Stick around, honey. You're family.
Really?
Maggie's my oldest friend. We've worked together on every picture I've ever made.
Well, I guess you'll have to find yourself another director now, won't you, Maggie?
Yeah, looks that way, doesn't it?
Must you children dominate the conversation? I'm sitting here simply bursting with news, and I can't get a word in edgewise.
Well, we've got a little surprise for you, too, Mother. You know that for a long time, Rex has been trying to get a year off to do some writing.
Yes, and I've never understood why such a good director should want to give it all up to write. Writers are a dime a dozen, Rex. It's very impractical of you.
I know.
Mother, will you please not interrupt? I'm trying to tell you something.
All right, darling, tell me.
Rex has finally gotten his leave. He's rented a place in Mexico and... And we're going there as soon as we can.
We?
Rex and me.
But you're not married.
We're going to be.
Oh, no, my darling. I'm afraid you're not going to be. At least not right away.
But Mother!
When I tell you my surprise, you'll see why marriage right at the moment is simply out of the question.
In a moment, Lee Bowman will continue with The Star Quality, today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater. Are you doing your share to help strengthen America's peace power? You don't have to be an atomic scientist or a satellite expert, but every time you invest in United States savings bonds, you are helping your country work toward a secure and peaceful future. Peace costs money. Money to help us keep the peace through industrial and military strength, and to help make it lasting through science and education. The dollars you put into savings bonds are a direct investment in your country and make you a partner in the job of strengthening America's peace power. And while your money is working for your country, it is also helping you plan ahead to your future, toward the home you've always dreamed of, or the college educations of your children. So if you haven't already started, join in the campaign to strengthen America's peace power. Invest regularly in United States savings bonds through the payroll savings plan where you work or through your nearest bank.
Catherine Day was never one to waste a dramatic scene, and she created a doozy when she announced that my marriage to her daughter Kate was out of the question. It was Maggie Wilson who broke the uncomfortable silence.
Well, as I said before, this is a family party, and this time I really must go.
Darling, don't go just because we're having a disagreement. It'll be all over Hollywood by morning anyway.
Oh, it's not that. I'm sleepy.
But you're leaving with the wrong impression. When I said you couldn't get married right away, darlings, it's not that I don't approve. You know I adore you, Rex.
You've always said so, Catherine.
And I've never denied you anything in the world you've ever wanted, have I, Kate?
Get to the point, Mother.
Well, the point is that I have some rather heavenly news, too.
Mother, will you please get on with it?
I came here from Dennis Garrett's office. I suppose everybody knows that for years he's been begging me for the rights to the story of my life. And today, I accepted his terms. We signed the contract, and I fully expected to walk off with every award the Academy offers next year.
Oh, Mother, that is wonderful.
Congratulations.
I'm glad for you, Catherine, but I don't see what difference that should make in the plans Kate and I have made.
Well, I'm coming to that. Dennis made the offer, and I named a simply outrageous price. He snapped it up, and then I demanded script approval. And he bought that. And then I said to him, Dennis, there's only one person in the world who can play Catherine Day, and unless you agree to it, no deal.
Oh, Mother, surely you don't expect...
Play the role myself? Of course not, darling. I've kept my looks, but all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't make me look 19 again. No, I said to Dennis, there's one person who has the star quality, that youthful, radiant glow the young Catherine Day absolutely must have.
Millie Perkins?
No.
Audrey Hepburn?
Oh, no.
Margaret O'Brien?
I'm surprised none of you've guessed her when it's so obvious. Who in the world could play Catherine Day better than her own daughter?
Mother, you didn't.
Well, aren't you pleased, Kate?
Well, Mother, of course I'm pleased that you should want me for the part, but you should have talked to me about it first.
Yes, I suppose I should have, but I had no idea you'd be the slightest bit reluctant to do it. You look as I did when I was your age. Now, all we have to do is coach you until you're as good as I was. Let's face it, darling, I was an actress.
There's no question about that, Catherine, but I'm curious about one thing. How do you expect Kate to do this role and go to Mexico with me at the same time?
Well, I think there has to be a change of plans. I'm sure that once Kate has had a chance to think about it, she'll realize that this is something she can't very well pass up.
Well, you must admit, Rex, it's a marvelous opportunity.
You stay out of this. The point is, Catherine, I've only got a year's leave, and I want Kate with me.
Well, it would seem you could write so much easier without a pretty girl around to distract you.
That decision Kate will have to make.
And I'm sure she'll make the right one, but right at the moment, she must have time to think it over, don't you, darling? I'm sure you'll come to a sensible decision.
The decision's already been made.
But Kate has to think it over.
Will everyone please stop? You're talking as if I were a piece of property. I'll make up my own mind.
I thought your mind was made up.
Will everybody stop pulling me in different directions? I don't want to hear another word about it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going home. No, Rex, don't come with me. Or you either, Mother. I want to be alone.
Kate, wait for me.
No, Rex, let her go. She's confused. She needs to be alone. Now, let's all have a quiet, sensible drink.
I'm in a mood to have several.
Of course, I'll do the script myself for the picture they're making about me, but it occurs to me that I'll need someone to, put it in proper form. Maggie, how would you feel about working with me on it?
I'm a staff writer, Miss Day. I write what they tell me to write.
Well, I'm sure if I spoke to Dennis Garrett, it could be arranged.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Of course, the screen credit would be mine. I must go. Oh, I do hope Nastasia has bitten the cloakroom attendant. They're so silly not to let me keep him with me. Goodbye, Rex.
Goodbye, Catherine.
I'll be in touch with you, Maggie.
So long. Skipper, you might as well cheer up. Maybe what's happened is all for the best.
I don't see how.
Oh, as wise old Ben Franklin used to observe, grief often treads upon the heels of pleasure. Married in haste, we'd oft repent at leisure.
The NBC Radio Theater, starring Lee Bowman, continues in a moment.
No oily aftertaste, no oily aftertaste. Now there's a margarine.
Good, that's the margarine.
With no oily aftertaste.
Maggie and I stayed on at the hideaway and had a few more. And then went our separate ways. When I got to my apartment, I tried to call Kate. But her maid said she wasn't receiving calls from anybody, so I didn't get to speak to her any more that evening. Someone else spoke to her, though. Her mother.
Go away.
Darling, it's Mother. Please let me in. Just for a moment.
All right, Mother, but I'm very tired, so please...
Did I wake you?
No, I... was just lying here thinking.
Are you dreadfully angry with me?
Oh, let's talk about it in the morning, please, Mother.
Really, darling, it wasn't very thoughtful of you to stalk out that way.
What did you say to Rex?
He's a very obstinate young man. You know, darling, for a first marriage, I doubt that he's exactly right for you.
Oh, Mother, this may come as something of a shock to you, but I plan to marry once for keeps.
There was something I didn't tell you back there. Something you really ought to know.
Yes?
Well, to put it as plainly as I know how, Kate, we're broke.
How on earth is that possible?
Well, it's been a good many years since I've worked. This house, the servants, your schooling, they've all been rather expensive.
Why didn't you say something earlier? I mean, we could have been economizing. I've been spending what little I've been making right and left. If you just said something, Mother.
Well, darling, there's no need to get upset over it. With what I get for the story and what you get from your contract, we'll be comfortable for years.
Honest, Mother, you had no right to commit me to that film.
Well, if you must know, darling, it was the one thing that cinched the sale. It was really their idea, the studios. Of course, my story alone is enough to carry half a dozen pictures.
Then why not let the story alone carry it?
Well, it was Dennis's idea. He thought the thing up. What they're going to do is build the entire publicity campaign around your playing me. Now think of the appeal that'll have for the audience. Kate Day playing the part of her mother in a true life story, told against the glamour and glitter of Hollywood in the golden days. You have something, Kate. You never realized it.
What, Mother?
Star quality.
All my life, I've heard you talk about something called star quality. Would you just once define it for me?
Well, I don't know that I can define it. It's nothing that you can see or taste or touch or smell. It's a thing you sense about a person. All the great stars have it. Some quality of charm, beauty, glamour, talent. Something you can't quite put your finger on, but you sense it's there. It has to be born in you. There's nothing artificial about it. It's a quality, and it belongs to that person, and he knows it.
I understand a little bit.
I had it. I knew I had it. And knowing that, nothing could stand in my way until I got to the top. Am I making any sense?
Yes, Mother.
But don't you sense it in yourself?
Well, I'm not sure. A little bit, maybe.
It'll come with a little assurance, a little security. A good role will make you realize it. And once you get the applause, the attention, the recognition, you'll know.
Mother, once I know, how will I know?
I think you'll know when you finally reach the point that you won't let anything stand in your way to be a star. You'll work night and day, you'll sacrifice your friends, your lover, maybe even your mother. But you're going to the top and nothing can stop you.
Today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater, starring Lee Bowman, continues in a moment. Drama. Variety. Monitor. News. Your companions throughout the day on NBC. Drama. Every weekday, the NBC Radio Theater and My True Story, bringing you the true-to-life drama of men and women as they live through a climactic moment in their lives. Variety. Every weekday, it's network time. Music, comedy, a sparkling variety show live from New York. Frank Blair, Don Russell, Skitch Henderson and his band, and famous show business guests star on its network time. Monitor. Going places, doing things every Monday through Friday night, as well as on the weekend. News on the hour, every day throughout the day. Drama, variety, monitor, news. Your companions throughout the day. Over most of these NBC stations.
Catherine Day did one more thing that night. She made a phone call, which took her about 1 minute to make and took me about a year to recover from.
Hello, Dennis. This is Catherine. Yes, I know it's an outrageous hour to be calling, but I've got an idea, and it just couldn't wait. There's a young director on your staff, and I want him to work on the picture. Rex Darrow. Well, then you must cancel his leave. I'm sure he's the man for the job. Darling, I simply won't hear any objections. Cancel his leave and let him take it later. Oh, no, for heaven's sakes, don't let him know I asked for him. He'll get all swell-headed and unbearable. Oh, you are a love, Dennis. Oh, one more thing. I've found a writer I want to give me a hand. Maggie Wilson. You know I'll be doing most of the work myself, but I thought I ought to have someone around to do the typing, you know? I know you'll do what you can, darling. Thanks so much. Good night.
Skipper, what are you doing in? I thought you'd be off to Mexico or getting married or taking the son.
No, don't rub it in, Maggie.
Rub what in?
Haven't you heard?
Honey, this is Maggie. You know, I'm chained to this typewriter from dusk till dawn and I never hear a thing.
Oh, my leave was canceled.
No.
Yep.
Oh, that's terrible. Any reason?
Dennis called me at home this morning. Seems he needs me on the Catherine Day story. Wants to go into production first thing.
Oh, of all things to cancel your leave for. Honest, that makes me mad.
I guess they're going to give it the big-time treatment. It'll be a good credit.
Yeah, but what about your book?
I asked Dennis. He said my leave would start just as soon as we finished the Catherine Day Spectacular. You got the script started?
Nope. Any suggestions?
Yeah, we open with a shot of Catherine at the age of 3. Already a child star, she's sitting in a bank vault, sipping champagne and counting her money.
When she was a child star, they were using wampum, not money.
A jaded, bored, tired child of 3. She's already been married twice, and there's talk of a romance with her French tutor.
Probably just studio gossip. I'm glad we're going to be working together, Rex. You're fun.
Everybody's little ray of sunshine. That's me.
What does Kate think about this leave business?
Oh, she doesn't know about it yet. I'm seeing her for lunch. She'll get the glad tidings then. My lunch date with Kate was for 1 o'clock. She showed up at 2:15, looking radiant. I almost forgave her for keeping me waiting 45 minutes.
Oh, darling, I'm so sorry.
Where have you been?
Oh, Mother made an appointment for Tina Kerensky, you know, the drama coach, to come out and hadn't said a word to me about it. Well, she showed up just as I was about to leave the house, and I couldn't just walk out and leave her.
What'd she want you to see Kerensky for?
Well, she's going to coach me. Isn't that wonderful? She's really the best coach this side of New York.
Does that mean you're going to play Catherine Day?
It means one thing. It's up to you.
Go on.
If you say no, then I won't do it. On the other hand, if you say yes, you could go ahead to Mexico and I could join you there when the picture's finished.
It doesn't look as if I'm going to Mexico. Not anytime soon, anyway.
Why not?
Dennis canceled my leave this morning. I'm directing your picture.
Oh, darling, that makes it perfect. We can go ahead and be married, and then when the picture's finished, we'll both be free to leave at the same time.
You really want to do the picture, don't you?
Oh, Rex, there's more to it than wanting to. I really owe Mother an awful lot. Confidentially, the sale wasn't as easy to put across as she pretended. I think my being part of the package helped. You know, publicity angle and all that.
Yeah, it's good.
You haven't said yes. May I do the picture or not?
I guess there's not much question about it. Of course you'll do it. And you'll be the greatest thing since Catherine Day.
The NBC Radio Theater continues after a brief pause for station identification. And now, the NBC Radio Theater starring Lee Bowman continues.
I didn't see much of Kate in the next couple of weeks. She was busy with her drama coach, and I was busy working along with Maggie on the script. Kate and I did manage enough time to make some wedding plans, which I found out later Catherine had tried to break up.
Darling, you're all dressed. I thought you were going over my scrapbooks with me this morning.
Oh, I'll be back early, Mother. I'm just going to the dressmaker and get her started on the wedding dress.
I was hoping you'd talk Rex into putting that off for a while.
Mother, we don't want to put it off. Neither of us do. It's just going to be a quiet little wedding. We'll honeymoon later after I finish the picture.
I think that's very selfish of Rex, forcing you to go ahead with it now. If he doesn't love you enough to wait a while, then he certainly can't be very much in love with you.
Mother, I have no doubts about Rex.
You're very young, Kate. You have no idea of the complexity of adult emotions.
Mother, you've never had an adult emotion in your life.
Well, that might be true, but just because I want to protect you from a philanderer, there's no excuse to attack my maturity.
What are you talking about?
Haven't you noticed it, dear?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Of course, you haven't been around them as much as I have. I've been with them a great deal for script conferences and such things. It's been very apparent to me.
Well, it's not very apparent to me. Will you please stop talking in riddles?
Since you forced me to tell you. Rex and Maggie.
Yes, I know. Rex and Maggie. They're working together on the script.
Poor darling, you're so trusting.
Oh, Mother, they've been collaborating, working together. They've had to be together. Oh, I just won't hear another word of this.
Kate, I have tried to warn you, and all you do is turn on me. It's your happiness I'm looking out for, and if you won't listen, then I'm sorry. You'll just have to suffer the consequences.
Maggie and I had been driving ahead on the script as fast as we could, and it meant that several nights a week we'd be at the studio until all hours.
Oh, I'm sleepy. Where were you in the script?
Well, Catherine's on her way up the aisle for the umpteenth time.
Yeah, the carpet's worn thin from her frequent trips to the altar and back by this time.
Oh, come on now. She's excited. She's in love. She's bubbling over with happiness. This time she knows the marriage is going to work. She gets to the altar. Now, we've got to make it legitimate. What does she say?
Oh, Rex, we've worked every night this week until 3 or 4, and I'm tired.
We don't have to finish before daybreak.
I wish we could. I want to get out of this town, get married, and finish my book.
Yeah, when is the wedding, by the way?
At the moment, we're planning it for the day after the script is finished. Oh, nuts. Let's knock it off and call it a day, huh?
Oh, thanks, Skipper. I'll cover my typewriter and be right with you.
You take care of that typewriter as if it were a baby.
It's my meat when I'm hungry, my drink when I'm thirsty, and my companion when I'm lonely.
Why, Maggie, I never thought of you as being lonely. You always seem so, well, I don't know, self-sufficient.
Oh, I get lonesome. Sometimes it's a bitter pill to swallow when you see yourself. Getting along in years and unmarried and getting spinsterish.
Oh, stop.
No kidding. Sometimes I start thinking I'll chuck this whole career bit and go back home.
Where's home?
Kentucky. A little town, Lexington.
Yeah, that's bluegrass country.
It's nice country. I wish I was sitting in that bluegrass right now with a nice Kentucky boy just yearning his heart out for me in a rose-covered cottage. Silly, huh?
I don't think so.
Trouble is, I'm not a country girl anymore. I wouldn't fit back there. I'm Hollywood now. Big-time career girl. I make $40,000 a year. I own 3 Dior originals, 2 fur coats, no place to wear them, and 2 sports cars to take me no place I really want to go.
Maggie, are you crying?
Maybe.
Please don't.
No. You're one of those nice guys that gets all soft when a girl turns on the tears, aren't you?
I'm a slob.
Oh, no, you're the nicest guy I've ever met.
Thanks.
Oh, that wasn't a come-on, Rex, so you can take your arm away.
Yeah, I know. I just felt like giving you a hug. We're pals, aren't we?
Oh, sure, pal.
Well, hello.
Isn't it kind of late for you to be out?
I brought you some rolls and hot coffee. Thought you might be hungry.
Well, thanks, Kate. We're just about finished.
Oh, yeah. A real neck-and-neck finish at that.
Oh, Kate, don't jump to any conclusions.
I don't have to. It's perfectly obvious what was happening.
Honey, you're all wrong.
What do you take me for, a child? I've got eyes. I can see what's going on. Do you suppose I could speak to you alone for once, Rex?
Oh, well, good night, everybody.
Wait a minute, Maggie. We'll take you home.
Oh, no, thanks. I've got my car. See you tomorrow.
I'm not very happy with you at the moment, Kate.
Oh, you're not very happy. What do you think I feel? I came out here to bring you a snack, and I walk in on a real necking party. Is that the kind of collaborating you've been doing all this time?
Honey, that was Maggie. Maggie!
Well, I didn't think it was Whistler's mother.
Honey, you don't know what you're talking about. We'd taken a break, and she was telling me about what a lonely time she has of it. And about how homesick she was. She's from Kentucky. Bluegrass country. I got the feeling she doesn't feel really at home here or back there, and I felt sorry for her, so I just naturally put my arm around her.
Oh, she's a smart cookie. She knew what she was doing.
I don't think she did.
Well, it's happened now. At least it teaches me one thing.
Oh?
I can't trust you as much as I thought I could.
Are you jealous?
Oh, that would give you a feeling of satisfaction, wouldn't it?
All right, Kate. Now let's stop this before it gets out of hand. You know what I'd like to do? Why don't we leave? We'll get a justice of the peace out of bed. Nobody need know. We just won't wait another minute.
Oh, Rex, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Where's your spirit of adventure?
At 2 in the morning, you want adventure.
You're right, honey. It's late. I guess all sensible people are home asleep. Come on. I'll take you home.
In a moment, we will continue with Star Quality, today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater. You know, nearly every day now, we see some story about men being rocketed to the moon. In this connection, it's worth noting what one jet test pilot had to say about courage. His observations come to mind because May is United Cerebral Palsy Month. Somewhere in America, cerebral palsy strikes some child every 53 minutes every day in the year. It's a ruthless, indiscriminate enemy of mankind.
cerebral palsy brings to mind what that jet test pilot had to say. Someone asked him about a rocket trip to the moon, how much courage it would take. He said he couldn't say how much it would take, but he thought he knew what kind it would take. He spoke of the courage to die and the courage to live. And he made it clear he thought the courage to live was the finer kind of courage. It's that kind of courage little kids with cerebral palsy have just to live every day. Join the 53-minute march on cerebral palsy by mailing a contribution today. Address it to Palsy, in care of your local postmaster.
By the time the script was finished, nobody was speaking to anybody. I had driven Maggie so she was worn out from overwork. Catherine had pushed Kate through half a dozen acting courses, and every night that Maggie and I worked past 5:30, Kate was sure it was Maggie's doing. Finally, though, the script was finished, and I took some copies over to Kate and her mother.
Hi.
May I come in?
Oh, I've been waiting.
Hello, Rex, darling. Kate said you were bringing a surprise.
Mother Day, how are you?
Oh, darling, I do wish you wouldn't call me Mother Day. It makes me feel like something wearing a Mother Hubbard and baking flapjacks. And anyway, you and Kate aren't even married yet.
We will be. Here's the surprise.
What is it?
Open the envelope.
The script? Let me see.
There's a copy for each of you.
Brightly shines my star. Rex, that's a new title, and I love it.
Don't thank me. It's Maggie's title. Listen, you two, before you get involved in that script, I've got one thing to say.
What, darling?
Now that the script's finished, when are those wedding invitations going out?
Oh, don't be foolish. Kate's going to sit down this minute and start work on the script, provided it's been written the way I outlined it.
It's a good script. Don't worry.
I hope you haven't made me an ogre.
I've written you exactly as you are.
Splendid.
Kate, about the wedding.
Oh, Rex, I love the opening scene. It's really beautifully written.
Read it, darling. I want to hear how you handle it.
Well, let's start with you at the gate. You're standing there, and far down the country road, you see the dust of the bus that's coming to take you away to the city.
Read the speech.
Goodbye, Mama. Goodbye, Papa. An old oak tree and petunias blooming along the walk. And steps that need fixing and chairs on the porch. I'll send you a letter, Mama. And you write, too. You hear?
I don't like that part about the steps needing fixing. Makes it sound as if we lived in a run-down house. And, of course, it wasn't a wealthy home, but it wasn't a hovel either, Rex. Rex? Where is he?
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear him leave.
Well, he'll be back, I suppose. Read on, darling. I really think you're going to be just fine.
I knew that Catherine and Kate wouldn't even know whether I was there or not, so I left and went back to the only place that felt like home, my office at the studio. I hadn't been there very long when in walked Maggie. She was dressed for travel and carried a small bag.
Hi.
Hi yourself.
Do a girl a favor.
Try.
I was going to the airport alone, but all of a sudden I just couldn't go without anyone seeing me off.
Well, where are you off to?
Oh, I thought I'd like to see the blue grass again.
Probably do you good. Ever stay long?
I don't think I'll be back, Rex.
Oh, you're just tired. I've driven you too hard on this job. You'll be back. You better be. I need you, Maggie.
When's the wedding, Rex?
Not sure yet. My leave starts now, so I'm free to go on down to Mexico anytime.
Well, don't wait around, will you?
As a matter of fact, I was thinking of doing just that. My lease has nearly run out on the place in Mexico, so I thought I'd hole up at my place. You know, turn off the phone and lock the gate and get to work there.
Yeah, well, just get to work on the book. Wherever you do it, it doesn't matter. But you've got to get it started before the idea gets sour.
It won't.
I hope not. I think you've got a darn good novel in you. I'd just like to see it on paper.
You will. By the way, Catherine liked your new title for the screenplay.
It's fair, I guess.
I left the two of them reading the script. Not a critical word out of either of them.
There shouldn't be. It's a good script, considering what we had to work with. And Kate ought to get an Oscar if she can handle the lines.
She's a good actress. Maybe not great yet, but I think she could be.
You're prejudiced.
What do you think?
No, I wouldn't be fair to say. You see, I'm prejudiced, too.
How?
I can't stand her guts.
Well, I didn't know you felt that way about Kate.
Yeah, I'd feel that way about any woman if I felt was destroying a man.
Honey, now I know you need a rest. Kate's not destroying me, by a long shot. I know she keeps putting the wedding off, but that's all right. I want her to have this fling at the silver screen. If she doesn't have it, it might stick in her craw and come up later and have a bad effect then.
Well, I had no right to say it, but you know, the moment of truth. Afterwards, you could bite your tongue off. Oh, golly, look at the time. You want to take me to the airport?
The NBC Radio Theater, starring Lee Bowman, continues in a moment. But first, there'll be stardust in the air on NBC. Yes, great stars of the entertainment world will be your day-in, day-out companions on Stardust. Stardust every weekday at 25 minutes past the hour, every hour of the day, beginning Monday, May 18th, over most of these same stations. There'll be comedy by Bob Hope, Groucho Marx, Ernie Kovacs, Fibber McGee and Molly, Bob and Ray, and many more. And there'll be features of special interest to the woman of the house, broadcast by Marlena Dietrich and Madeline Carroll. There'll be commentary on the world of sports by Leo DeRocher and other experts. Great stars of the entertainment world will be with you throughout the day, every hour at 25 minutes past the hour, on Stardust, beginning Monday, May 18th. Be listening for Stardust and for all the other fine programs. The drama, the music, the news, the rich variety of entertainment and information brought to you throughout the day, every day, over most of these same NBC radio stations.
The very day shooting started on Brightly Shines My Star, I ran into trouble. Kate was doing a scene, and she was doing it pretty badly, so I had her go through it a second time. And that was pretty bad, too, so I had her do it a third time.
Charles, I know I'm not everything you looked for in a wife, but you've got to remember that I'm a star.
No. God.
Well, what's the matter now?
Well, it's the way you read the line, I'm a star. When you say it, it's got to show that you are a star. And that being a star is everything in your life. Say it proudly.
Well, there's something wrong with the way the line's written. It doesn't feel right.
Well, the line is written the way I want it. Now, before we roll film, give me the line again.
Charles, you know you're... No, wait, I'll start again. Charles, I know I'm not everything you looked for in a wife, but you've got to remember that I'm a star. I'm a star. Oh, darn it, it just sounds silly now I've repeated it so many times.
All right. Let's do it and be finished.
Well, I can't do it now. It just sounds silly.
Well, you can do it if you put your mind to it.
I can't.
Honey, you're holding up production. We've got to get on.
I don't think she need continue the scene if she doesn't feel like it, Rex.
Catherine, who's directing this picture, you or me?
Don't raise your voice to me, Rex. I won't stand for disrespect from you.
And I'll stand for no interference from you.
You obviously don't know how to direct Kate, or you wouldn't have gotten her in this nervous state in the first place. Go to your dressing room, Kate. Rest for a few minutes, and we'll go on when you're ready.
You leave this set, and you're fired.
Mother, Rex, stop it this minute. We'll go on with the scene. I'm all right now, I promise
you're
you.
You're in no condition to do the scene as it ought to be done. Your makeup is smudged, and you're trembling like a leaf. I think we'll call it a day.
Catherine, I've warned you about interfering. I'm going to have you barred from the set if this keeps up.
I wouldn't try that if I were you, Rex. You might find yourself locked out if you aren't careful.
And that's exactly what happened. Catherine raised another fuss the next day, and I stood my ground. She went to the top boys and evidently had more pull than I gave her credit for, because I was fired from the picture. Kate was sorry, but Catherine and I were on the worst of all possible terms. I put the time to good advantage and settled down in a little house out on the beach and began writing. One night I'd been for a walk along the beach, and when I came up to the house, I saw a familiar figure sitting on the porch.
Howdy.
Hello, Maggie. When'd you get back?
Today. Heard you got fired. Thought I'd come out and offer my sympathy.
Thanks. How was Kentucky?
Oh, restful. Oh, my Lord, it was so restful. I was ready to start back 2 days after I got home.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see you, Maggie. I was about ready to
chucked the whole manuscript in the wastebasket.
What's the matter?
Oh, I don't know. All bogged down. Everything's so unsettled, I guess. It's hard to get my mind down to any serious writing.
You want to walk along the beach and tell me?
If you'd like to.
It's a beautiful night, isn't it?
Great.
Let's take off our shoes and walk in the surf.
Not me. I'm the one who always steps on a sand crab.
Oh, no, I love wading. It's one of my worst habits.
Have you got many bad habits?
I'm full of them.
Name a few.
Well, talking to tramps. I just love tramps. I got a phobia, too. I'm afraid of pigeons.
For shame.
Ooh, the water's wonderful.
Yeah, surf looks a little rough.
Oh, Sissy, you're afraid to get your... Oh, Rex!
Maggie!
Rex, I stepped in a hole or something. I've swallowed gallons of water. And
take it easy.
My foot touched something wet and alive. Oh, sure, it was a shark.
Don't be silly. It was probably a rock.
Oh, no, no. I felt it wriggling.
You're cute when you're scared.
Oh, Rex, I'm really scared. You don't know what it felt like. All black and slimy and...
Give me your hand. You're trembling.
I'll be all right in a minute. I'm sorry.
I'll carry you.
Oh, Rex. Put me down. I can walk.
No trouble. You're light as a feather.
Well, I'm not a baby.
Did anyone ever tell you that you're a beautiful dame?
Rex, put me down.
I never saw you like this, Maggie. All windblown and moonlit.
Oh, well, I'm beautiful, all right. My hair's full of sand and no shoes. Oh, Rex, please put me down. Rex, oh, you mustn't. Oh, please. Oh. Rex. What did you have to go and do that for?
I felt like kissing you.
Lee Bowman, starring in today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater, continues in a moment. Who would you say has the greater chance of having a serious accident in your home? Well, although the ladies spend more time at home, it's the men who have the most mishaps. For every 6 women killed in home accidents, 10 men suffer the same fatal errors. And the National Safety Council says the reasons behind these facts are simply these. Men are naturally the ones to take on the hazardous jobs around the house. And men are much more likely to take chances. The married man stands a better chance of avoiding fatal accidents in the home than the unmarried man. In one state survey, it was disclosed that 75% of the men involved in these mishaps were unmarried. So the man of the house would do well to let the little woman act as his safety foreman whenever he undertakes any do-it-yourself project that looks a bit risky. And as for bachelors, well, bachelors still shy of marriage would do well to recruit a female friend or relative.
After the night I kissed her, Maggie wouldn't let me see her. Whenever I called, and I did call several times, because Kate was out of town on location and I was lonesome for somebody to talk to. Then one night I dropped in at the hideaway. Kate was supposed to meet me there, but she was late. I spotted Maggie at the bar and went over and joined her.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, Maggie.
How's the book?
It could be going better. Too many distractions in town. I ought to have gone to Mexico or somewhere for peace and quiet.
Any chance of that still?
Oh, sure. We're leaving any day now for the rest of my leave. It depends mostly on Kate.
I hear she's back from location.
Picture's all finished. She's been doing some cleanup shots at the studio this afternoon. Tonight, we should be able to say when we're taking off. Can't be too soon for me.
Hello, people.
Hi.
Hello, Kate.
Oh, Rex, you're just going to brain me when you find out what's happened.
Oh, no, not again.
Oh, darling, it's just something that can't be helped. The studio's sending me on one of those cross-country tour things from here to the east to do advanced publicity for the picture.
You told them you couldn't go, didn't you?
Would I have to go? What else could I have said?
That you're engaged to a guy who's getting pretty tired of waiting.
Rex, they've built their whole publicity campaign around this mother-daughter angle. We're already scheduled in theaters from here to Maine.
How long will it take?
Oh, I'll be back in a month. You don't mind waiting that long, do you?
Well, I've stuck around so long now, I guess one more month won't hurt me. Sure, honey, I'll wait. But let's get this straight. This is the last time. Kate made her trip, and I waited. She came back to town on the day her picture had its Hollywood premiere. The picture was good. And that night, when Kate came to the party, she was still wrapped in that rosy glow any girl would have when she wakes up and finds she's become a star.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? Wires, flowers, autographs, all the works. Oh, Rex, aren't you proud of me?
Yeah, I sure am.
Oh, I could drown myself in champagne.
A very good idea.
We haven't time, baby. Not if you're going home to pack that bag.
What's this?
We're going to Mexico tonight, Maggie. Reservations on the midnight plane.
Rex, I meant to tell you to cancel those. We'll have to make it tomorrow. I can't make it tonight.
Why not? This afternoon, you were all for it.
Well, something's come up.
Baby. We're leaving tonight.
Oh, it's really important, Rex. Mother and Dennis Garrett are waiting for me at home. He's offering me some kind of contract. I thought I must just look it over.
Talk to him when we get back.
Oh, Rex, you know how these things are. You have to strike while the iron is hot.
Let me put it another way. We go to Mexico tonight, or not at all.
Hello, Kate.
Maggie, something wrong?
I want to talk to you for a minute.
Couldn't you just wait a second? I'm busy with Mother and Dennis. They're waiting for me now in the living room.
No, I don't think this can wait. Kate, are you going to meet Rex at the airport tonight, or aren't you?
I don't think that's any of your business.
I think it is. I'm in love with him.
That's no news to me.
Takes me a little while to warm up. I'm a little slow getting started. But I fight fair, and I just wanted to tell you that if you aren't going with him tonight, I am.
What makes you think he'd take you?
He'd take anyone who'd show him a little consideration, encouragement, and love. The guy's been kicked around, and I think he's ripe for somebody who'll let him have his way for once. And I'm just the girl who'll do it.
You're wasting your time, Maggie. Good night.
Darling, what's keeping you so long?
Mother, excuse me to Dennis. I've got to run.
Where on earth are you going?
Mexico. Rex is waiting for me at the airport.
Darling, let him wait.
No, he won't wait. Not this time.
But the contract is...
Hang the contract. I've got to catch Rex.
But hasn't he always waited before? You're a star now, darling. You can write your own ticket.
Who are you calling?
The airport. I'll get them to hold the plane.
But that's so silly. Rex won't leave without you.
Hello? This is Kate Day. I'm calling to ask if you'll hold flight number 343 until I get there. Well, yes, I have a reservation. There are two seats under the name of Rex Darrow. What?
What are they saying?
Canceled? He canceled them? Well, thank you very much. Mother, you're uncanny.
Of course I am. Make up with him later if you want to, but right now we'd better get back and talk to Dennis. And Kate, I think the contract is letter perfect. You can sign it without a moment's hesitation.
Maggie, what are you doing here?
Oh, Rex, I was so afraid I'd miss you.
Oh, they just called my flight. Come on, walk with me to the gate.
Rex.
Yeah?
Will you marry me?
Oh, thanks, honey, but I'm not the guy. I don't deserve you.
Oh, I know I shouldn't propose, but I've already told you my bad habits. I talk to tramps, and I fall in holes at the beach, and I hate pigeons, and I propose to men. And I do all the wrong things, but Rex, I love you.
You wouldn't want me. Not like this. Not after all that's happened.
Oh, I want you anyway. I can have you.
It would be crazy.
Oh, and wonderful.
It wouldn't be on the rebound, honey. I promise you that.
Oh, it'd be nice, too, but you wouldn't be sorry. I'm a nice girl, and I'll be good for you.
We'll take the next plane. We'll be married in Mexico.
Well, there's still time for this one if we run.
We'll have to share a seat. I canceled the other one.
Oh, it couldn't be cozier. Let's run.
In a moment, we'll be back with a word about tomorrow's drama on the NBC Radio Theater. But first, hear this.
From the sunny Southland
to the mountains of the North
to the plains of the Golden West,
everyone listens to radio.
It's bigger, it's better, and rarin' to grow. Everyone listens to radio for music, for news to put you in the know. Why don't we turn on the morning show?
Prime chime, 7:30.
Ooh, hurry up, Eddie, it's 7:30.
Maybe you listen while on the go.
Conditions on Highway 30 through the mountains, snowpacked and slick.
Wherever you go in America, at work or at play, you should know. You're never alone where there's radio.
R-A-D-I-O. Everyone listens to radio. Just turn your dial, there's your favorite show. Pardon us if we stand back and crow.
To America!
That's radio!
Today's drama, Star Quality, was written by Earl Hamner and featured Wendy Berry, Phyllis Newman, and Vera Allen. The NBC Radio Theater, starring Eddie Albert, Lee Bowman, Madeline Carroll, Gloria DeHaven, and Celeste Holm, will return tomorrow with another gripping, complete hour of drama. The NBC Radio Theater is produced and directed by Hyman Brown. This is Wayne Howell speaking.
Famous show business personalities join Frank Blair and Don Russell on It's Network Time today on most of these NBC stations.
The NBC Radio Theater on Tuned to Yesterday from May 13, 1959 on NBC. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.